Musicians, take their seats. Let's all stand to read the Bible. I got a pretty strange one tonight. And just as I was sitting at the back, there's just something came to me, and I want to just put this in a certain way that. So we're going to start in the book of Revelation, chapter 20, and verse 12. And it says, "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works." Now let's turn to Romans chapter 8. This is Great Woman of the Bible, part 20 or 21, whatever it is. In verse 18, in Romans chapter 8, it says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask you to come down, be with us tonight, take your place, and may we learn something of you and from your word that would encourage us and strengthen us. In Jesus' name. Amen. And you may take your seats. This is a strange story. Okay? But I want us to think everything written in the Bible is written for a reason. And you know, just as when I did the Seven Seals study, I'm going to say this is a seven seal study. It's a revelation. It's an understanding. It's not everything that's unpackaged or that we're going to, it's not the whole story. It's just what I see in this, and I can't get away from it. And so I'm going to minister tonight, and I don't know how long it's going to take, but I've got some other people that we'll get to. We're going to look at Rizpah tonight. If I say Rizpah, hands up if you know who I'm talking about. Yeah, that's what I thought. Not even Brother Don put his hand up. Okay, it's just one of those little things in the Bible. Turn with me to, you'll know this story. 2 Samuel 21. It's one of those little things written in the Bible, and that's why I started off. The things of your life are written in a book. And you'll be judged from the things that are written in your life unless you send those things to God beforehand and you say, "Put them under my blood, under the blood." Because if you put your sins and your works, both good and bad, under the blood. And say, Lord Jesus, I don't stand before your throne on the basis of my works, good or bad, but just on the basis of your blood, then nothing will be in the book that is written of your life except the blood of Jesus Christ. It's all under the blood. So you can't be condemned and you can't be justified, but some people will come and be judged according to their works. And as I've said before, your works, what you do, you're expressing one of two things. You're either expressing who God is or who God isn't. And so if we can get under the blood of Jesus Christ for everything that we do, both good and bad, then all God will see is the blood of Jesus Christ, and all he will see is us expressing who Jesus is, right? Therefore, there is no condemnation to them in the Spirit who walk not according to the flesh. Why? Because they're walking under the blood, okay? But for some people, their deeds are written down. And Rizpah, her deeds are written down in the book. And they're written down in such a way that God said, I want that story to be read throughout all history because it expresses something about my character in a way that nobody else expresses in just quite that way. And that's what we're called to do. We're called to express God's character in a way that nobody else can. Not even Jesus can express God's character the way we can, because otherwise he wouldn't need us. We wouldn't be here, right? You may not believe that, but it's true. God says, I'm not complete without you. All right. And sometimes what we go through is very, very hard in order for us to express the character of God. And reading the commentaries, there are people, they say, there is no mother in the Bible who suffered in the same way that Rizpah suffered. Okay? And so this is going to be a little heavy tonight. It's not going to be full of joy and laughter, but I believe it's going to be full of a lesson that God wants us to learn, because otherwise it wouldn't be written in the scriptures. And I just can't get away from this one. It just strikes at me in a particular way. So let's start reading the story in chapter 21, just to give the background. Then there was a famine in the days of David, 3 years, year after year, and David inquired of the Lord. And the Lord answered, it is for Saul and for his bloody house, because he slew the Gibeonites. Now you remember the Gibeonites were the ones that deceived the children of Israel at the time of Joshua, where they put on old clothes and they took stale bread and, you know, moldy bread and stale wine, and they said, we've heard of your greatness, make a league with us. They didn't seek the Lord, they made a league with them, and they were made servants to the children of Israel. Okay? But Saul, in his zealousness, says, and the king called on the Gibeonites and said unto them, now the Gibeonites were not of the children of Israel, but the remnant of the Amorites, and the children of Israel had sworn unto them, and Saul had sought to slay them in his zeal to the children of Israel and Judah. So Saul had persecuted them, and he'd gone against, and that what Saul did displeased the Lord. And often we find it's the people in authority who get to do the things that please or displease the Lord, and everyone else underneath suffers the consequences. Therefore David said unto the Gibeonites, what shall I do for you? And wherewith shall I make an atonement that you may bless the inheritance of the Lord? And the Gibeonites said unto him, We will have no silver nor gold of Saul, nor of his house, neither shalt thou kill any man in Israel. And he said, What ye shall say, that will I do for you. And they answered the king, The man that consumed us, that devised against us that we should be destroyed from remaining in any of the coasts of Israel, let seven men of his sons be delivered unto us, and we will hang them up to the Lord in Gibeah of Saul, whom the Lord did choose. And the king said, I will give them. And so, living in a different time, this seems so foreign to us. But it's within the law of God, you know, life for life, eye for eye and a tooth for a tooth. Said, he's slain us, and we will be satisfied if the same kind of destruction that Saul wrought on our families is given to his families. Saul's dead at this time. Yeah, it's like, praise the Lord, this is a good service tonight. I mean, this is, I'm just reading this out of the Bible. You think about this. It's serious stuff, and sometimes we bear in our lives the consequences of people that have gone before us. We bear in our lives the burdens that they put on us. We bear in our lives the, you know, genetic inheritance of sickness, of sin. And it's not your fault. But it's a burden you have to bear. But the king, David, spared Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, because of the Lord's oath that was between them, between David and Jonathan, the son of Saul. But the king took the two sons of Rizpah, the daughter of Aiah, who she bare to Saul, Armoni and Mephibosheth, and the five sons of Micah, the daughter of Saul, whom she brought up for Adriel, the son of Barzillia, the Methoanite. And he delivered them into the hands of the Gibeonites, and they hanged them in the hill before Saul. And they fell all seven together and were put to death in the days of harvest, in the first days, in the beginning of the barley harvest. And so there's the king who's given his word, and he has to make a choice of who's going to die and who's going to live. And now we come to a place of tremendous burden to think that real people had to go through this. Real people died because of the consequences of sins of others. I mean, in a way, that's all of us as sinners under Adam and Eve, sold the whole human race into sin. And we have to live with the consequences. It's beyond our control. And in many cases, things happen to you in a way that's beyond your control. It says, but I reckon the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. And that's a scripture that you have to have a real revelation to get any comfort from when you're going through the suffering. It's not the kind of scripture that you'd want to take to Job in the middle of his suffering, you know? Job, cheer up. I reckon what you're going through is nothing compared to what God's going to, the glory that's going to be revealed. You'd count yourself as one of Job's comforters, you know? It's a difficult situation to speak about. There's Micah, who was given to David in marriage, and then because David And so her father didn't get along. She was given to another man in marriage. And then when David wanted the kingdom back, he said, you're not going to have it back unless I have my wife back. And so she was torn away from the other man. No, I don't know what to make of those things. There's Rizpah here, who was one of the concubines of Saul, brought up in the royal palace, had two sons by the king. So must have been a favored concubine. Involved in conflicts. And then suddenly her two sons that she's brought up, taken from her to be killed because of situations beyond her control. Many situations in your life that are beyond your control, that take things from you, that are totally unfair, you know, that shouldn't be the way they are. And the question is, what are you going to do in that situation where things are beyond your control, where things are unfair, where what is happening in your life is a manifestation of the sin inheritance that you have? There's not one of us who should have a gray hair. You know? There's not one of us, Brother David, who should be going bald. I got a little spot at the back here as well, so, you know, I'm kind of in your company. It's going to gradually creep its way forward, I'm sure. But that's not a natural position. That God didn't create us for that. I found a picture from 20 years ago of Peter and Charity. Like black hair, solid black hair. It's like things have changed. Yeah? And these are small things that we can see change in our lives that indicate the bigger problems. But sometimes we're going through bigger problems that we don't know where they come from. We don't know why they are. Why me, Lord? You know? Why you, Brother Greg? You know? And our... at that moment, when all the unfairness of sin is made manifest in Rizpah's life, when all the consequences of what other people did are made manifest in her life, she does something that God says, that is worth remembering. Okay. So, and Rizpah, the daughter of Aiah, took sackcloth and spread it for her upon the rock. And from the beginning of harvest until water dropped upon them out of heaven, and suffered neither the birds of the air to rest on them by day, nor the beasts of the field by night. And just that little verse. Verse 10. It just strikes my heart in a way I can hardly express. Because here's a woman, a mother, robbed of her sons, robbed of her most treasured possessions. Not her fault, through the unfairness, through the actions of others. Two sons of hers and five cousins of her sons. No. And what does she do? Now there's, you remember Joseph was in Egypt. Okay? And he said, carry my bones out. Don't leave my bones here. Take them to a place of honor. Okay? We know that when Saul died, to shame Israel, the Philistines hung his body on the wall of their city, and just would have let the, you know, just let it decay in carcasses. Look, there's Saul. There's him in a position of shame. Okay. And she said, even though they're dead now, I will not let further shame come on their bodies. I will stand here, even though it seems like there's no opportunity, there's no one in the world to help me. There's no one in the world who will see this makes a difference. I will not allow further shame to come on these men. And verse 10 covers, from what I can read, it covers the period of about 5 months from the beginning of harvest till the autumn rains that she stood by those bodies and guarded them and didn't let further dishonor come on them. And it gets me thinking, you know, what are we doing to guard those who have fallen into shame? What are we doing to stand for those who it looks like they're completely dead to sin and they're completely out of the way? People that you know in your life that just have taken a wrong road and seem to be totally captured by sin and the consequences of sin, and there seems to be no hope for them. Are you still standing for them and for their honor before the Lord and say, Lord, protect them, bring them back. Don't let them fall into further dishonor. Are we as committed in whatever situation we find ourselves in to saying, I will stand and not let further shame come on these people? And God, like I said, there's something in here for us. There's something in here that God said, I respect that enough that I write it in the scriptures for us thousands of years later to read and to say, what aspect of godliness did she have inside of her that empowered her to do that to the point where God said, I'm pleased to write that in my scriptures? I don't know the whole scope of this, but I draw it to your attention and say, when life is unfair, it can be very unfair. I don't know that any of us in this day and age have experienced anything like this. But in whatever you're experiencing, what is your reaction? Are you walking away? Because it is interesting that Michal, the wife of David, she's mentioned here, but she's not mentioned as someone that aided in this process, that helped at this. So there was one that walked away, but there was one that stayed faithful to try and deliver, to the best of her ability, the bodies of her loved ones from shame. Verse 11, and it was told David what Rizpah, the daughter of Ahiah, the concubine of Saul, had done. And now David is touched by this, knows that she's done a good thing and takes action on her behalf. But it took that amount of time for the message to get through to the king, 5 months. David went and took the bones of Saul and of Jonathan, his son, from the men of Jabesh-Gilead, which had stolen them from the streets of Beth-shan, where the Philistines had hanged them, when the Philistines had slain Saul in Gilboa. And he brought from thence the bones of Saul and Jonathan his son, and they gathered the bones of them that were hanged. And the bones of Saul and Jonathan they buried in the country of Benjamin in Zelah, in the sepulchre of Kish's father, and they performed all that the king had commanded. Interesting. David honors and gives them the most honorable end that they could have. Not to be eaten. There's a scripture. Let me just, Jeremiah. Just again, to give you a little context, this is Jeremiah chapter 7. Of the shameful position they were in. So this is the judgment of the Lord. Chapter 7, verse 30. For the children of Judah have done evil in my sight, saith the Lord. They've set up the abominations in the house, which is called by my name, to pollute it. And so on and so on. Verse 8. At that time, saith the Lord, they shall bring out the bones of the kings of Judah, and the bones of his princes, the bones of the priests, and the bones of the prophets, and the bones of the inhabitants of Jerusalem out of their grave. And they shall spread them before the sun and the moon and all the hosts of heaven, whom they have loved, whom they have served, and after whom they have walked, and whom they have sought, and whom they have worshipped. They shall not be gathered nor buried. They shall be dung upon the face of the earth. And death shall be chosen rather than life by all the residue of them that remain in this evil family, which remain in all the places whither I have driven them, saith the Lord of hosts. So it's a judgment against sin. It's a shameful thing, but Mizpah rescued that and stayed faithful to say, even in this shameful situation, I will do my best to maintain whatever honor is available. Are we doing that for those around us that have fallen into sin? Are we doing that for those around us who have maybe treated us shamefully? Are we remaining true to a cause of expressing God when everything around us is falling apart and totally unfair and not even our fault? Because it says after this, in the last line of verse 14, it says, and after that, God was entreated for the land. So how much did the actions of Mizpah during that, of standing over the bodies that were under judgment until they could come to a place of honor, how much did that contribute to God being entreated for the land? I don't know. But I challenge you to look at this evening and think about this. I know we like to preach about victory and overcoming, and for sure, let's be victorious, let's overcome. But Paul wouldn't have said, I reckon that the tribulation of this present time is not worthy to be compared, unless there was tribulation of this present time. And tribulation is a tool in the hand of God to shape us and to mold us into what he wants us to be. It's not a pleasant thing to think about. It's not a, like I said, it's kind of a strange topic. Just a few verses in the Bible. Just a little lesson about one mother's dedication, even when everything was past hope, when everything was lost, to to bring about the best result, the most honorable result. But God was pleased to put that into the Bible. As we get closer to God, like Job said, man that is born of a woman, is few of days, full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. Dost thou open thine eyes on such a one and bringeth me into judgment with thee? Saying to God, why do you look on me? I have nothing, no strength in me to stand. Time is just fleeting. And the more I'm alive, the more I realize that I'm, you know, nearer to death than I am to life in this body. And you say, things happen to us. Brother Greg, you're going through it at the moment. We all have our turns. We all have our times. No, Peter Hoffman nearly chopping his arm off with a boat engine. Like, we all have the things that we have to go through. How are we going to react? How are we going to bring the best outcome and the best honor? And, you know, will our names, Rizpah's name is eternal, you know? It's eternal. It's written in this book. And I believe our names are written in the book, but maybe not in the same way. But if our names are written down in our book and is examined to say, how did you react? How did you compare to Rizpah? How would you compare? All I got for this evening. It's just something I couldn't get away from. It's right there in the Bible. How's that song go, Sister Karen? Must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? Now there's a cross for everyone. There's a cross for me. Must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? No, there's a cross for everyone, and there's a cross for me. The consecrated cross I'll bear till death shall set me free. And then go home a crown to wear, for there's a crown for me. It's number 89 in these books. Oh, put on the crystal pavement down at Jesus' pierced feet. The Spirit. blessed feet, with joy I'll cast my golden crown. Joy I'll cast my golden, and his dear name repeat. His dear name repeat. O precious cross, O glorious crown, O resurrection day. Stars come down and bear my soul away. Must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the No, there's a cross for everyone, and there's a cross for me. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love. Lord, that you have a plan through it all, that you are bringing to us to something glorious. Lord, I pray for all those who are going through something tonight. Pray for all those who have been through something to encourage their souls. Pray for all those who may be about to go into something. Lord, that whatever it is, you would strengthen their soul to be able to express you in times of darkest trial. And when the books are written, we could have a testimony like Rizpah, that we didn't give up, we didn't walk away, but we stayed and we fought the good fight and we expressed what you had for us to express in the situation. That when the life's races run, that you would speak to us and say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joys of the Lord. You fought a good fight. Now come into the glories that I've prepared for you. With that eye on the prize, help us to endure with joy the path you set before us. We thank you for your goodness and your love and for the example of Rizpah in the Bible. If I've said anything, Lord, that's out of order, I pray that you bring it to your light. The things that have come from you, may they achieve the purpose that you have for them in our lives. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. And all the world go free. No, there's a cross for everyone. God bless you all. I love you all.